ask somebody this morning, you are in for the glory of God. God is going to visit you this morning. Hallelujah. Okay, please turn with me to, I want to thank God for this house, and I want to thank God for the vessel God has raised to be our leader, our pastor. We thank God for his life and the wife. I want to appreciate our pastor this morning and his wife. Can we put our hands together, please? Thank you. Amen. Amen. Psalm 30, verse 5. I want to do that quickly. Psalm 30, verse 5. You are going to do something. You are going to get off your seat. You are going to go to somebody. And you are going to minister what this scripture is saying. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Amen. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So you're going to get up and you're going to minister to somebody this morning. It doesn't matter what you're passing through, what you're going through. Thus is the word, that the favor of God is for life, for you. Whatever you are going through is for a season, for a time. But you are in for life, for the favor of God. Can we do that in just 3 minutes? Can we do that, please? Hallelujah. Yeah, let's do that. Let's minister to somebody. Share that portion. You may be going through hard time, difficult time, challenging time. You may be going through some issues. You may be carrying some issues. The devil may tell you, oh, you are not going to come out of this. And the word of God is saying, that is for a moment. That is for a time. That is for a time. But God's favor is for life. God's favor for you is for life. Hallelujah. God's favor for you is for life. Are you going to pray with that person, please? Pray with that person.
That I agree with you.
I agree with you based on this scripture this morning. I agree with you that your issues, your needs, your fears, your problem, whatever it is for a moment. It's for a time. But God's favor for you is for life. So I pray that into your life this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we can get back to our seat. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Shall we please have our seat? Amen. I want to read two passages this morning. I count it a great privilege to stand before you to share the word. It's a great favor. I thank God for this privilege. Psalm 102, verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13. It's a well-known scripture to us. It reads thus, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. You will read it and put your name where you find Zion. You will arise and have mercy on Emmanuel. For the time to favor him, has come. Yes, the set time has come. Amen. Amen. The second passage is Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Father, we ask that you bless your word. I stand under the cross and I ask, oh God, that Lord, your word will come out freely. Lord, you will minister to your children. You will cause each one of us, oh Lord, to receive from you. You will speak, oh Lord, use this earthly vessel to glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for hearing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Season for favor. Season for favor. You are in for the season for favor. And we thank God for what we are going through in Mount Zion. God has just launched us into a season of continuous favor. And I was praying yesterday that, Lord, what we are enjoying as a local church, every individual begin to enjoy it. Amen. Amen. That passage says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. When we talk about season, we've heard it again and again and again. Season is a kairos moment. It's an appointed time when the earth is in alignment with heaven, when God opens the heaven and decide to do specific things. Because it's a kairos moment, it's an appointed time for certain things to take place. Heaven is saying yes, and because heaven has said yes, the earth must obey. And all the creations of God, because it's a kairos moment, when heaven is open and God is taking the stage, everything that have been in opposite direction have to align with what God is saying. Because God is about to do something unique. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because it is time, and this is the season God is launching Mount Zion into a period, seasons of multiple favors. And we can see God opening doors here and there. And God has said to me this morning as I was preparing, that God is saying to you, it's your time for your heavens to be opened. It's time for you to walk into your season. And this is the season. This is the moment of your favor, of your blessing. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what have been in the past. It doesn't matter what situation that you have been in. When heaven is ready and heaven says yes, every other thing must obey. Your situation must bow. Kings must obey. I don't know if I, you know, just the short time we have, I'm going to rush, go through some things. And then my fifth point, we are going to look into the life of somebody who happened to be a king. When heaven was shut against him and his people because of sin, he was incarcerated. But when heaven was opened, something happened. But let's go for the first point. Season could come with challenges. Season could come with challenges. That's number one. When a season of challenge comes, it could be a time of sowing. It could be a time when you are laboring. It could be a time where you are making hay. And at that time, things may be tough, things may be harsh, you know, things may be delayed. It's a season. That's why we read that scripture. All right? There could be a time for that. It could be a season of difficulty, challenges, laboring, investing. It could be in your education. It could be in your family. It could be your business. It's a time you are sowing, you are laboring. It's for a season. And that season comes with such challenges. But don't forget, every season has a beginning and it has an end. The end of any hard season is the time of joy. Because when you have, you know, invested or planted or plowed or sowed, definitely you are going to reap. Hallelujah. Psalm 126 verse 5 says, Psalm 126 verse 5, what does it say? It says, he or she, whoever goes out there sowing, carrying precious seed, weeping, it could be, you know, may not be physical, shedding of tears. It could be weeping within. It could be some agonizing situation that you cannot control. But it says, especially when you are a child of God, know this. It says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. So if you have gone out sowing, you are going to reap. Amen. 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 We should not forget also that we are in a season of GPS, our time of sowing, right? Okay. It could be difficult when we say, let's go out there to Walmart, Sabomati. And, you know, we are expecting 5 or 10 people to go, but 4 people were ready. All right? And we know what it means, what you put behind, the time you have to constrain yourself for that. It's a time of sowing. It's, you know, tough. It's challenging. But the time is going to come when you're going to reap it, not only in eternity, but from here. Because you're going to see those souls being saved. You're going to hear testimony. Oh, when she prayed for me, when she visited me. You're going to begin to hear things that we, you know, give you joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's come back to your personal life. When you are investing your time, you are investing your time for God, you are investing your time for your family, you are investing your time in your business, is a time, a season of laboring. A time of joy will come. Because you sow in tears, you will definitely experience the outcome of it, which is harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Season could come with affliction or persecution. You remember Job? We are studying the book of Job. If you have not been joining us in our Bible study, I invite you. This coming, okay, so next coming Wednesday. This coming Wednesday is going to be for our home fellowship. But next one, join us here for our Bible study. We are studying the book of Job. It's so interesting. See the life of Job? He went through all. He lost everything. And yet he maintained his stand, his connection with God. He will rather suffer than deny God. And at the end, what happened? He reaped double. He had double for his affliction. He had double for his pain. He had double for his humiliation. He had double for all his cries. He had double for all the mockings that he received. Because he stood with God. But those periods were not easy. Somebody said, oh, the period that Job, all that he went through was just 9 months. But it's like 9 years. It's like 9 years of sealed heaven. God departed and he wasn't hearing nothing. But when God opened heaven, when the season of favor came, when God was ready to turn the life of Job around and to let the world around him know, and for us to learn today, the earth was in alignment with heaven. And God decided to give back to him all that he lost. Double. Double. So, season could come with affliction. But don't forget, it could come with affliction or persecution. Always look for the end. Look at the end. Look at what heaven is saying. Not what you are saying. Not what the devil is telling you. Because you, as a child of God, if you are born again, God cannot leave you in darkness. It's going to come for you. So it could be like we see in the life of Job. We see even in the early church. The early church, they were born again. They were spirit-filled. These are disciples of Jesus. And then they went through all those persecutions. And most of them, except one, except John the Beloved, all of them were persecuted, killed, sawn asunder. Some were burned at stake. Some, you know, Peter was nailed, was crucified upside down. They all went through. And God allowed it. You know why? Because each soul that was martyred was a seed. And today we have the church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we know when we get to heaven, we are going to see. You know, the result of those who labored, who went through persecution, when they were going through the period of sowing, of laboring, of investing in the kingdom, they were investing for those who were coming, you know, after them, for our generation, and for the generation that will come after us. They labored. They were ready to die, lay down their, you know, their crown at the feet of Jesus. So season could come with affliction or persecution. I don't know what you are going through right now. I don't know if you are going through affliction or persecution. And you are saying, I try to do all everything right. You know, my conscience tells me I'm right. All I'm doing, you know, just to help. But yet, I'm, you know, misunderstood. God understands. God understands. Or you are going through a period. It could be that you are sick. All right, it's like an affliction. And you have been praying about it. And you are trusting God for it. I want to assure you, God will heal you. That period of time, like we saw in the scripture that we shared together, is just a moment for you to go through it. And by the time you come out of it, you have a testimony. So you cannot be an experienced teacher except you have been a student. And you pass all the exams. And then you are now satisfied as a teacher. Then you can tell somebody, I went through this class. I know what it means as a student. So God wants us to go through all those classes. This morning, those people was telling me, do you know, son, there is the school of hard knock. And God will allow you to go through this school of hard knock. He will be watching you because you can't make success in life if you don't go through all the classes. If you want to jump one class to the next class, you are not qualified. You must pass all the exams in every class for you to come out as a graduate. So which class are you? Is it a school of knockout? Or hard knock? Or affliction? Or difficulties? Or you have been somehow, they call you names because of Jesus. Whatever it is, it's part of those things that should make you. They are not to mar you. Anything that will make you to become better, God will not exempt you from them. God is a faithful God. Amen. Amen. In those days, we students used to pray, Lord, may there not be any test today. But it's not a wise prayer. But then, of course, we are running away from what is the teacher is going to bring. But we all know all those tests, at the end of the day, even what the prayer you are praying, you know, wasn't answered. You still have the test. Because God knows it's in the test that you become someone that has a testimony. If you are not tested, you can't have any testimony. Hallelujah. So are you going through any affliction and difficulty, whatever it is? It was Paul who said it in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, or verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1, 8. Look at it. Is he on the board? 2 Corinthians 1, 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, for our trouble. Paul, for our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despair even of life. That is a man of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. The man that was taken to the third heaven. The man who saw visions that he could not even, there are no words for him to explain. He went through that severity of whatever you call it, burden, oppression, or persecution, that in fact, they despair of even their lives. But thank God, he went through it. He says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, verse 9, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You know why God allowed that? So that we will not think, hey, you know what? It was because of, if God will not use me, who will he use? I am indispensable in the hand of God. No, God allowed him to go through it to let him know that, look, our trust is not in ourselves, not in our ability, not in what we can do, not in our preaching. Whatever we can do is not based on that, but that we should trust God who has the power to raise the dead. There could be a reason why God allows you to go through that valley you are going through right now. So that by the time you are out of it, you have something to share with those who are coming behind. And your testimony will be genuine. You are talking as an experienced person, not that I had it second hand, third hand. It's what you went through. So by the time you are telling them, I went through that, they will listen. They want to know, how did you come out of it? Amen. Season could come with affliction or persecution. The end result is always beautiful. There's always a blessing. Number three, there is season with open challenge. There are some seasons that will come with a great challenge. The challenge is, once you pass it, it brings you promotion. In the book of Daniel, we know this. Daniel, during his time, Daniel happened to be one of the Hebrews that were carried into captivity, and they were in Babylon. And in Babylon, the king of Babylon decided to take some people and train them so that they would be useful for him. Daniel happened to be one of the wise men, wise people, that God himself had trained, not just in the school of Babylon. Hallelujah. And then there came a time when the king, Nebuchadnezzar, when he had serious dreams, he could not interpret. None of the soothsayer, none of the magicians, none of the astrologers, none of the people around could give answer, could interpret the dream or give answer. The situation was so perplexing that the king had wanted to kill all the soothsayer, all the magicians, if there is no one that will be able to stand and tell him his dream. And the many. We know the story. And Daniel being one that carried his God, he carried his God from Israel to Babylon. He got to Babylon as a youth. Let me say, if not a teenager, maybe 17, 18, 19. He was 18. He carried his God. No dad, no mom, nobody to say, hey, what are you doing? Yes. Nobody. But his walk with God, his personal experience with God was so strong that he decided, if you read the book of Daniel very well, the day they were enrolled in the school, he decided in his heart, I am not going to corrupt myself in this school. Yes. I'm going to stand out. It takes somebody who has a unique experience with God to be able at that age to stand for God. So he stood for God. When everyone else failed, when the magicians, the astrologers could not interpret the dream, and then, you know, Daniel heard about it. In fact, they wanted to kill everybody, including Daniel and all the people. Daniel said, give us a time, please. Just give me a time. He went before the Lord, sought the face of the Lord. Overnight, God revealed the dream. Hallelujah. Let's just read some. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 from verse 24 to 29. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men. He didn't say, don't destroy me. He was standing in for everybody. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captivity of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said, Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayer cannot declare to the king, but there is a God, an opportunity to evangelize, an opportunity to introduce his God. Do we use every opportunity God has given to us when we need to open our mouth and say and tell somebody, Jesus can do this, my God is able? Are we afraid or intimidated to the extent that we are not able to open our mouth and declare our God and declare the possibility, ability of God to change situation? Then he said, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your head upon your bed were these, and on because of time. So he gave the interpretation. But in verse 48, you know what happened? Because he passed the test, the season came. That season was an open door with a great challenge. The challenge is, the king had a dream that in fact he has forgotten. And then number one, you have to first get the dream and then interpret it, which is a great hurdle. If you can pass it, there will be a promotion. And that was what happened. So in verse 48, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon, and on and on. And then Daniel was able to petition for his brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they also were given promotion because they are all under him now. When God has brought you, I believe, now into your season, when you are lifted, when you are promoted, God wants to use you and that privileged position to also bless those who are coming in the body of Christ. That blessing is not only for you. That promotion is not only for you. God promoted you not just for you, but for all. So if you are promoted, remember others. If God has lifted you up, it's for a reason that others also be lifted up. So use your influence, use your position, use everything that you have to see that men and women are lifted. You know how to promote people, to get people promoted? Those who are seated in darkness, those who are yet to be born again, those who are yet to become a child of God, those who have not understood this truth, you have to make it known to them. That's how you get them promoted from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. What you experience, the favor of God, you also have to let those who are yet to experience this favor to have it. Hallelujah. Number four. Season to fulfill divine destiny. We've had several times the life story of Joseph. Because of time, we are not going to go into all that. You know, God orchestrated everything that has to do with his life. You see, God sent him to prison. God allowed the natural thing to take place so that he will go through the schools, those schools and their classes of hard knock, rejection, failure, where you are being lied against and you can't defend yourself. God allowed him to go through all that, and then he came to prison. God allowed him to go through a short class or school and a practical on how to bring sinners to God. Because right then in the prison, there were two people, not only two. Every day he wakes up, he looks at the faces of people. Oh, it looks like you are sad today. Two of them, they were sad. The cupbearer and the baker. They were in the prison with him. And don't forget, he happened to be the one coordinating, the inmate coordinating inmate. Favor. Praise the Lord. And then he was able to interpret their dreams they had the night before. And he told them, remember me. Remember me when you get to the palace before God for 2 years. One was killed according to the interpretation. But the cupbearer, went back to the palace. He forgot. But when heaven was ready, when favor, God was ready to favor Joseph, another king had to dream, Pharaoh. He had a dream he could not interpret. Not all the magicians could interpret it. The same thing like Nebuchadnezzar. The dream was gone. He didn't understand the dream. He didn't have the interpretation. And then this man, Kobia, said, I remember my sin today. 2 years after, he has been enjoying. He's forgotten Joseph. You know why? If you have forgotten, it's because heaven has not, it's not yet time. Amen. When it's time, those who forgot you, they will have sleepless nights. God will give them insomnia. God will make them to miss their breakfast, their lunch, and their dinner. They will run to you and say, you see, I can't even have my rest. God says I should do this. God says I should bring this. Because heaven is saying, this is the time. Amen. And every creation must obey. They must be in alignment with what heaven is saying. Do you agree with me? This is the time for Mount Zion. Amen. Know what the Lord was ministering to me all the while? This is the time. Not only God started with us in America, in Cleveland, in Tennessee, to reach out to nations. We have been to Burundi, but there are other nations. Amen? Amen. This is the season. We know this story very well because of time. I'm going to jump that. Joseph interpreted the dream. That was what took him out of the prison and made him a prime minister in Egypt. There is something God is going to do by you, through you, for your generation because of favor. Because of favor. You don't know why you are alive today. God preserved you because of his favor. He wants to favor you so that you be a blessing to your generation. He wants to use you and send you back to your generation. Send you back to your family. Send you back to the community where you are. Send you back to the nation where you are. And make you a testimony. Because of our time, let's go to the last point. Hallelujah. There is a season when heaven is open and the earth is in alignment with heaven, that even wicked people, they will be ready to serve you. Even wicked people. Let's go to the, we may not have time to read everything, but 2 Kings chapter 25. That's where we are going to stop because of our time. 2 Kings 25, we have a story of King Joashin. King Joashin was a king of Judah. And because of the wickedness of the nation of Israel and Judah, the southern part, they were carried away into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. So King Joashin stayed in prison for 37 years in Babylon. 37 years in Babylon, in the prison. When it was time for God to show him mercy and favor, Nebuchadnezzar died. And his son, Evil Merodach, became the king. Don't forget, Evil Merodach became the king. That is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. The first thing he did as soon as he got to the throne, the Bible says, let's read it together. Let's see there. Go with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 25 from verse 27. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Joashin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month. What day is today? That is why today is your day. Today is your day of favor. Today is your time. You are in the time, the right time for favor. Amen. Say to yourself, heaven has favored me. Everything must obey. Only a few people said that. Okay. Be unto you. Hallelujah. So the 27th day of the month that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, released, number one, he released who? Jehoiachin. He released him from the prison. That's the first thing. Number two, he spoke kindly to Jehoiachin. He spoke kindly to Jehoiachin. Verse 20, that's 28. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. It wasn't only King Jehoiachin that had been captured by the king of Babylon. Many kings all around, they carried them, put them in prison. But this only one that was shown favor and was promoted and given a seat higher than all other kings. Not only that, from that very day he was promoted, he was given daily supply. Daily supply. They changed his clothes from the prison clothes. If you would be wearing prison clothes, the devil told you, you can't go beyond here. He didn't say it by words, but by action. He just discovered that it's always this way, you come back. You are just going through the same circle. Today God is going to break it. As many that are wearing prison clothes, let me tell you this, if you are not yet born again, you are in the prison of the devil. If you are carrying, you know, a grudge in your heart and you are not forgiven, you are in a prison. You are in a prison. If you have anything that, you know, is not in alignment with heaven, you are in a prison. So you need to come out. You need to be set free. And there's one who is going to do that, Jesus. This morning, they change his clothes. So the end of shame and humiliation. And from that very day, started eating on the royal table. And then for life, the scripture we read as we're sharing, for life, he had regular provision for life. You know what I'm saying? It's talking about everyone that is not yet born again. We are in the prison. If you're not yet born again, you're in the prison of the devil. He's the one that is in charge. But God wants to show you favor this morning. If only you can say, yes, Lord, have mercy. I acknowledge the fact that I'm a sinner. Forgive me. And then the prison door will be open for you. For you to come out. Not only that, heaven is speaking kindly to you. He says, I love you. God says, I love you. You are my child by creation, but I want to make you my child by giving you a second experience, what is called rebirth. If only you can surrender your life to him. God is speaking kindly to you. He's not looking at your sins. He's not looking at all those shortcomings. He wants to give you an opportunity to begin to feast on the royal table with him. So that if only you can say yes, the prison clothes will be taken off. You will begin to wear the righteousness of God. He will give you a garment, which is his righteousness. And then that will qualify you to be part of the royal family. That's what is the scripture. That's what he called as many as have been born again. Say, you are not ordinary person. You are of the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Full of the goodness of God. God set you aside for that purpose. So if only you can say, Lord, have mercy on me. It's not talking about religion. Yeah, I have a Bible. No, it's not talking about Bible. Oh, I come to church. It's not talking about coming to church. It's talking about the man inside of you, your heart to be transformed. Then that will qualify you to become one of his children. So for life, this man began to feast on the king's table. And he had that experience until he died. That is where God wants to bring everyone. He wants to bring the entire world. And that's why we are in a great position to dispense the word of God, the good news. It is the good news that has the power to save soul, to deliver man. And we have to let them know that provision has been made for a change of life, for the removal of the prison clothes. And when that is done, for life, not only here, but even after death, you will be with him. You will dance with him for eternity. Let's please rise. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know your situation, but I want to tell you this, that you are in for great favor. You are in for great favor. It doesn't matter. You don't have to sweat about. You don't have to do anything. Only to just believe him for his word. He said affliction may rise. Alright? Problem may come up. He said whatever you go through, all those problems, they are for time. A time. But he said his favor is for life. His favor is for life. He has favored you by allowing you to hear the truth. Enter into that favor by saying, Jesus, I need you. And if you're a child of God, I want to let you know that the cloud is forming for the rain of mercy and favor is falling on you. And whatever they had ground, because of the rain of favor and mercy, the ground is being softened. You're going to begin to experience the move of God in your life. Whatever the enemy said no to, because heaven said yes, he dare not talk. Because no one can challenge our living God. Just open your mouth and talk to the Lord this morning. If you want to be born again, want to be a child of God, tell him, Lord, I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need the prison clothes to be removed. I don't want to remain in this prison. Whatever the kind of prison the devil has placed you or placed, you know, whatever it is. If you are not born again, you are in that prison. You may say, I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. But you just know that there is something that is controlling your life. And it keeps on telling you, do this. And whatever it tells you to do, they are negative. And they always bring you back into a situation, ugly situation, that has bounded you and has, you know, brought pain and agony and sadness in your life. And the only way you can be free is by allowing the one who died on the cross of Calvary to come into your life. And if you allow him this morning, he's going to break through and break forth for you. He's going to remove the prison clothes. And he's going to give you a new life and a new name. I want all the believers, if you'll be born again, this is your time, and tell heaven, heaven, my case fire is being opened. Heaven, because you are favoring me, let everything you have created, including the devil, let them have no choice than to obey heaven. Let them have no choice than to obey heaven and what God is saying. Father, I thank you. Bless your name, oh God, this moment. Thank you, Father, for you are faithful. I pray for these ones, oh God, that have prayed in their heart. And if you have prayed that prayer in your heart and you need Jesus in your heart, you want to be delivered from the prison the enemy put you, all eyes closed, just raise up your hand. You are not going to come out. I'm going to ask you to do something. Just raise that hand wherever you are. I'm tired of the life I'm living. I am no more. I can't handle it any longer. But I want God. I want Jesus to come into my situation. I want my situation to be handled by heaven. Just raise up that hand wherever you are. You may be online. Just do it. And then put that hand on your chest. Put that hand on your chest. And declare today, Lord, I accept the offer of your son Jesus. I accept the offer of salvation. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me a child of God. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you. I'm now a new creature. Lord, you will lead me and guide me in the path of righteousness. I'm no longer answerable to the devil. I'm no longer answerable. Yes, so the prison guards, I am now under a new master. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And for children of God, I pray for you this day. Father, thank you. I ask, oh God, for a new atmosphere. A new atmosphere of heaven. Lord, upon your children. Because heaven is saying yes at this time. Let everything, all that you have created, be in alignment. In the name of Jesus, whatever has said no before, let them turn around and begin, oh God, to say yes. Father, give testimony to your children. Thank you, Lord, for hearing. Take all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you.